Good morning. After the third time, I'm here. I know I was supposed to be here a few other times, and those times there were some deaths, one in the family and one in the church there at home. So greet you all in Jesus' name here this morning. You say it's been a long time since I got nervous, and I'm probably a little nervous here this morning, but bear with me. I'm glad to be here. As I look over and the faces, I recognize many of you. I know many of you by name, face. I don't know if you know me, but I'm Martin Schmucker. My wife, Loretta, and I have two of my daughters here. One of them you probably know, Angela. Kennard's coming out and taken away from us. Now that's been with joy. That's a blessing to get to know Kennard as well. Then I have two brothers and a sister here this morning with us. We were working over there the house since Thursday, so decided to come over here. I don't know. I'm sure some of my brothers. I shared with my sister this morning that. Come way out here to church, then she gets to listen to me again. So I'll just apologize to my brothers as well. So they're out here. But no, God laid a message on my heart. I shared a little bit in the lines of it a few months ago in the fellowship back home. But I have something to share. It comes from a burden, especially as I look around and I see it. Last time I was here, I seen a lot of children here as well. A lot of young men, a lot of young boys and girls, and we have back at home as well, and some of the things that are happening. So before I start with my message, I just want to share a few things on where I come from and how the spiritual life began in my life. So I got to go way back, even though I didn't get born in it was in 2004 that I got born again. But I want to share a few things just in my life history. From my siblings to my mom and dad, and then I'll get on to the message. But I came from a family of 15. There were seven older than me and seven younger, so I'm right in the middle. And like I said, some of them are here. And I'd like to tell you that we came from a godly family, but that is not so. I can't tell you that. Many of us siblings were involved in drugs and alcohol, in jail, out of jail, back to jail, and you can say from Allen County, as their family was labeled as they called it Pete Schmucker family, Pete Schmucker's kids, and they were labeled as rebels in Allen County. But what I want to share is about my mom here a little bit. Way back, my mom hated all that we were involved with the drugs and the alcohol and all that. And she would tell us that the drunkenness and fornication and the sinful lives that we were involved with, she said that it's going to take us straight to hell. And like I said, Mom, I don't know where she was at that time in her life. But she wanted what was right, but she didn't know how to get it. So she taught against the drugs and the ungodliness and all that. And there are times that we would come home from parties late at night, or even a couple of days later after we left, we would find her on her knees praying for us, or sleeping on her knees while she was praying. She fell asleep praying. So that's the mother that we had. And I'll share a little more on that. But fast forward to 95. Things in our family and the community was dark. Lots of sin. And I know Mark probably shared a few things on from our community there. what that was like. But in 1995, we had church at our house, at Mom and Dad's house, Amish church. And during that Sunday, there was a party there as well. Like all the youth that we were involved with. Which I was married at that time, but some of my siblings, their friends would come, and of course they would provide alcohol in the back, shed out back, and all that. So that next day, When Mom was cleaning up the mess, she was burdened about the day before. She shared this with us many other times. She was sick. And she told the Lord that day, "Lord, you need to help me with my family." Because she knew that something was not right. But in the 95, and there was no light penetrated into the community at that time in 95. Which there was, I guess there was a few that got born again and moved out. So no light in my life in 95. And she told the Lord, she said, "Jesus, whatever it takes," she said, "I'm willing to do it. Whatever it takes to help my children turn away from the wickedness that they're in." A couple hours later, she was washing her dress, washing some a stain out of her dress with gasoline. And she got too close to an open fire there where she heated the water, and there was a flash fire that went through the wash house, out each side of the door, and she was inside of the wash house. It was a flash fire that went out and melted the siding off on top of both doors, the vinyl siding, and it burned everything that she had on off or into her. And she was in the hospital. She went to Indianapolis Hospital there. She was down there for 11 weeks. Unconscious for many weeks there as she laid in the hospital, and the doctors give her a slim chance of survival. But one day, as she was laying there unconscious, like you couldn't see any life whatsoever, you just thought that she was dead. One of her sister-in-laws walked in and said, "Oh, she is not going to survive, is she?" Because her head was like, she was swelled. And remember, 70% of her body, I think third-degree burns. So she laid there, but the sister-in-law came in and said, "She's not going to make it, is she?" She told another sister-in-law. My mom heard that as she was laying there, they thought, unconscious. So with that said, she prepared to meet the Lord. She thought she was going to die. And she repented of her sins. And she called out to the Lord to save her from her sins, from hell. Then she also made a plea to the Lord. Said, "Lord, just not save me from my sins, but if you would give me a few more years where I could go and help my children find the Lord." And the Lord granted that. The Lord gave her many more years. And I can say from that is where we feel God started working in our family. So I want to say many of the siblings in our family got born again, and some are still searching. And we have nieces and nephews as well that found the Lord and repented of their sins and are walking with God. And God gave my mom 25 more years after the fire. And a couple weeks ago, most of you know that she died from COVID-19. It was probably the greatest challenge that I faced, especially because my mom was, you know how moms are. When something happened, they were always there for you. We were in the hospital several times, and she was up there beside her bedside praying with us and seeing her needs. And here she was up there for 4 weeks and couldn't go visit her. Another challenge. But I feel that the Lord didn't make any mistake there, because we have some siblings. Some of my siblings are not where they need to be, and I felt that maybe that would have confused her on some things. So I believe that the 4 weeks, the Lord took her through a fire, and the Lord met her there, and the Lord delivered her. So we see that, I see that that way. Instead of having voices come from siblings that aren't born again, some over here telling her what to do, we feel that God wanted to take her through a fire, and God wanted to purge her by herself. And I think the Lord Jesus didn't. Because I talked to her few times on the phone, right at first, and after that, she wasn't able to talk on the phone, but she told us that she don't feel alone, that she feels someone in the room with her. She feels it was Jesus. So we praise the Lord for that. But anyway, back to that. I feel that 95, as my mom made a vow, as it says in Joshua 24, and that was my message today that I want to share on, 24:15. And it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I feel that was mom's heart and when she came out of the hospital. And she was different. I feel that she met the Lord. And yet at that time, it was still limited because there was no teaching there. But she went on and she started in a greater way, a greater hatred for sin and for all that. But, and with that said, now my dad... You know, it's talked about how a mom's heart was for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, Dad, you know, he was so, just a few more things here, and I'll get into my message. But he was so angry with us after we left the Amish that he didn't talk to us for years. I mean, he would say hi, bye, but he would not engage. But today, as the siblings go over and take our turns with him, as he's in a wheelchair waiting to get a hip put back in, so we go take turns staying with him. 5 o'clock in the morning, he's up. 5:15, we're making him 2 eggs over easy, 2 smokies, a piece of toast, and he's done eating about 5:30. And at 5:30, he wants us to read a chapter from the Bible and spend time in prayer with him. God is doing a great work in my dad's life as well. So we feel that from a mother's plea in 95, where the revival in the Schmucker family there began. So I praise the Lord for that. But And one day as we was reading, we've come across some scriptures about some sin, and I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, can you say, do you feel that the Lord has forgiven you of your sins? Because all of his life, years ago when I asked my dad, he'd only say, I hope so. I hope, Mark. But today, and I asked him, do you feel that your sins are forgiven? And he said, as far as the east is from the west, he says, I know my sins are forgiven. So that was a blessing to hear. My dad's starting out in his journey of faith, trusting that the Lord forgive his sins and go on. As it says in Joshua 24, as it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which you your fathers served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in those land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this burden came for me here as I see families that started out in our congregation or in our area that were vibrant for the Lord. They had a vision, and they were very influential in my early Christian life. And today, we see them walking away. So my burden is in here that we would settle that in our heart. That's for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Just not the older ones, but the young ones as well. Someday, if God grants you, you will have a family and you will have children. So that settle that in your heart. So it's a burden to me, and I see these young men that we walked with today are going way out to the left, and you can't even tell them apart from the main society, and they're involved. They're starting to be involved back to the things that we were delivered from. So young men and women, let's make a commitment, as Joshua did there in Joshua 24. So with that, I'll pray, and I want to share a message on Joshua 24:15. So let's pray. Father in heaven, as we do bow here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. You would give me words to share, Lord, not my own, but Lord, from you. That would be an encouragement and be a blessing to this congregation today, Lord, that you would be exalted, lifted up, and praised. Oh, Father, just thank you for this opportunity to come with the brothers here and just share hearts with them today. So I thank you. I love you, Lord, and I just pray that we will continue on keeping our gaze fixed on you as we have a few years left or a few days left in this life. So we just want to commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question I ask this morning, whom are you serving? And I ask this question, and we all acknowledge that the majority of this world are serving the God of this world. When I say the God of this world is the little g God. They're serving the prince of the air. And how can we say that? You know, we can look around, maybe not at this time, but we look around us, for example, like on a Sunday, the football fields and the basketball fields and the baseball fields are normally packed on Sundays. But this time, it might not be because of the COVID. But they're sold out every, with me coming from a sports world, and I know that trying to find a ticket for a Colts game in Indianapolis was impossible on a Sunday for many years. Sold out. 60 to 70, 80,000 people, and that's just one stadium. And you look around, the churches are empty. You see the little church houses here in Indiana, corner after corner, boarded shut. But mega churches are spreading across Fort Wayne, where there are thousands and thousands of people, and it's just this. I'm cautiously to say that. Is it a church or is it just entertainment for that? But that's been my burden as we see that happening. Church houses shutting down, families walking away. And it's my burden, whom are you going to serve? Can we ask why are the majority of this world, or the churches are empty, their passions for entertainment and fun and riches and wealth are more important to them than God? Can we ask why are some of the majority of the population of this earth serving Satan when God created everyone that was born to serve him? Why? We ask that. Why are they walking in their own ways, in their own flesh? And we know why. Because we know that it started in the garden. Adam disobeyed God. And sin passed upon every man. And this way, every man was born and created with a choice in here. Whom are you going to serve? It is your choice. God doesn't put that in there automatically and make you serve God, make him serve you. But he created us with a choice this morning. For we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God in Romans. In John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that the light is coming to this world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved or exposed. We know that many profess. Many are in churches today, but yet it's professing because they never made that fully commitment and surrendered their life. And I was talking to an old man once out west, and he was the leader of the church from a Mennonite church, and he took us on a boat ride, and we were talking about everything and anything about the city and about the boat and about when the boat was made and all that. And we were sitting there, so finally I asked him, so when did the Lord do a work in your life? You know, like, when did you get born again? And he ignored me. I thought, oh, maybe he didn't hear me. So I asked him again, so when did you get born again? I like to hear testimonies from other people how God spared you from your sin and how you started your journey. And he ignored me. Then I found out later on in life, the man was in sin. It's profession. He never made a choice, made a choice, but somehow Satan robbed him from that. So that's my burden. I hope you get that from me. Is where we, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It don't matter if it's when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80. So the question, why do men love darkness rather than light? Why not serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that created them and created us? We know why. Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why are men serving the God of this world? It's because they love their sinful life. So if you're in here today and you're past the age of accountability and you're not born again, we can say, because you love your sin. That's why people serve the God of this world, because they love their sins more than they love God. And God forbid that we would continue living in sin, because we know that sin will not be tolerated in heaven. You will not walk up to the judgment door and expect to walk in if you got sin in your life. We know that it's going to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And we know that men are trying to justify themselves all the time as we walk through this life, where they're at. I know once we were working in a house, and a man was in there. He was in there cursing God. And it was just like, after about a minute of it, so I was like, oh my, I just don't know what to do. I just can't take this. So I walked up to the man, and I said, sir, I said, why are you cursing God? I said, do you believe in God or not? And he says, he looked at me. He didn't say nothing. He looked at me. This was in the wintertime. So he just walked over to me, and he pulled off his sweater. He had a big sweater on, a coat first, then a sweater. Then he pulled off his shirt, and I was like, oh my, I thought he wanted to fight me or something. I thought it really made him mad. But then he turned around, and in the back of him, he had a big cross in the back of his back. And he turned and looked at me and says, now what do you say? You know, people like that, you know, which I shared some things with him on that behalf. But aren't we the same way sometimes? We go to church. We go to prayer meetings. We go to Bible studies and all that stuff. But yet our heart's far away from God. I know people that way. Let's not let that be in our life. Let's make that rule in our heart. Whereas Joshua says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that doesn't come, that doesn't just lay in your lap. That takes it diligently from each and every one of us to seek the Lord, serve him with our whole heart. And we can't serve God with sin in our life. We can't serve God with a partiality of this world and of the kingdom of God. I'll share on a verse on that later here. It's coming up. But we can't serve God and mammon both. And people are trying to do that in churches today. And they can do so for so long. And afterwards, we see the fruits come out. And the children, and their children. And then finally, the children end up leading their mom and dad right out of the church. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a different church. But they lead them out of another church, and they don't stop. And they end up in a main society where rock bands are playing and all that. And their hearts are away from God. You know, like I shared last night on to some of the brothers on President, you know, Trump. He made a remark that I seen in a quote that he never had to repent ever. He never had asked God sorry in his life yet because he never did anything wrong. Men that do not are too proud to get on their knees and ask God. Or the rich, go on to the rich young ruler, you know. We think of him here. Let me read a few verses. In Matthew 19:16, it said, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter the life, keep thy commandments. And he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, which lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus said unto them, when with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that he which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you have forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So just as we see this young rich ruler here, as he asked Jesus, I think I read a few too many verses there, but he asked, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him that, what he needs to do, about thou shalt not kill and steal. And he said, I kept all those from a little up. Then Jesus told him, go sell what you have and give to the poor. We think of that. How foolish. All he had to do is just to surrender his life to the Lord Jesus. We see here in this passage that he had a love. He had a love for possessions and money. And we think, so foolish. But yet there's people in this life walk up to their deathbed without confessing their sins because they have a love for their sin. It might not be money or wealth. It might be entertainment. It might be evil thoughts of immoral thoughts or whatever. So let's keep our hearts and keep our minds pure so someday we can hear those words, well done, faithful child. Then another one here in Matthew 22, when the parable of the marriage feast. And Jesus answered and said and spoken to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his sons. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth the other servants, telling them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my ox and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to the farm, another to the merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as we were found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not his wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind his hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Here the man was sitting in the wedding without his garment. We could be sitting in here this morning without our garment, without the garment for that great day when the Lord shall burst from the heavens or burst from the skies and call his children home. Let's make sure we have our wedding garment on, not as we read here, this man, the young rich ruler and all that. They're found there with their hands behind their back. And God, we know that at that time when he burst from the skies, if we don't have our wedding garment on, if we didn't make a purpose in our heart to serve the Lord, as Joshua said, for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It'll be forever too late. And we know that last verse says that many are called, but few are chosen. It says many are called, but few are chosen. And it says that all were asked. Everyone, it's not the heart of God that anyone would perish, but all come to repentance. And we've seen that every living soul in this life, don't matter where you're at, in the third world countries, way back in the jungles, they are called to the kingdom of God, to that great feast. Then we look at Judas, the betrayer. We see here he started out with the disciples. He was a chosen disciple, just like every one of you in here. And I trust every one of you in here today are walking with God. I'm not doubting that. I'm not planting any fear. But if you're not, I trust that. But Judas was a chosen disciple from the beginning. And we've seen as he started walking with the disciples, and all of a sudden there's some things that changed in his heart, especially when it seemed like he had maybe a greediness in his heart for money. And all that, and things started changing. So let's keep our hearts turned toward God. When things come, let's not be proud where we can't get on our knees and say, "Lord, I have sinned. I've come short of the glory of God." Let's be a men of God. But we see what happened to Judas there. He ended up hanging himself on a tree, and his bowels gushing out because of he would not surrender his whole life to the Lord. And we see the pattern here as we read there and we talk about Judas. And I see that the pattern is from the scripture that tends to lead to materialism, wealth, riches, and envy. Same way there with in Joshua 7 there with Achan. I won't read that, but we know that as Achan was told to go and to destroy everything, God told him to go destroy everything that there back in where was that at? But anyway, all of a sudden we know what happened. He came back and he brought back the best of the goats and the calves and all that stuff, and we know what happened with him. He was put on a pile and stoned, and the whole family, and they were burned because he was not willing to surrender all to the Lord Jesus. So for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let's make that purpose in our heart. 2 Corinthians 10:13, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon both. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more or better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes thee in the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? And after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Then Jesus tells them here, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that he talked about here should be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow have thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So as Jesus says, but first seek you the kingdom of God. And we see that as the burden came from, I've seen some of those that begin seeking the Lord in their lives. And how, I'm not sure how that comes about, how all of a sudden, I mean, they were influential in my life. They challenged me in my life. And every time I'd meet this one young brother, I called him a brother back then, he would come up to me when we were in the Amish, and he would say, Mark, how are you doing? have you given your heart to the Lord yet? Have you surrendered? Have you repented? And I would tell him there at first, well, I said, the Lord is doing a work in my heart. I feel he's doing a work. And he was influential in my life. And I praise him, praise God for him putting in my life, because he helped me search through a lot of things. And today, he went back, and his children are back where we come from. And as we see that, let's not be deceived. Some will tell you that, you know, we'll be judged accordingly what we know and what we learn. And that's why some are remaining to be ignorant and aren't willing to search out the Word of God, not willing to be the good Bereans. And it says, search out the Word. This way they feel that they will not be accountable in this life. We will be we'll be judged by the righteousness of God. The scripture says, if you sin, you shall surely die. It says there in John. And 2 John here. Oh, 2 John. It says, for many deceivers are entered into this world, who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, so hath he both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you any And bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of the evil deeds. So with that, I'm going to flip gears here a little bit. I wanted to share whom you're going to serve, and I want to share, first of all, why on some of those that are serving their flesh or serving Satan. So I want to flip sides here a little bit, flip pages, and share my other portion on why not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that set most of us free in here. He set our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and he gave us that true peace. I want to share a little bit on that. Sir, why not serve him? And Joshua 24:15 says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know many of you young men in here, young women, probably wondering, you know, well, what is this message all about? My burden, as I'm looking around there where we're coming from, I see many young men and women starting out in a few short years walking away from the spirituality of Christ. So that's my heart, that we will settle this in our hearts for me and my house. We will serve the Lord all the days of our life. So we can hear those words someday when the Lord comes and says, well done, my faithful servant. And we know to hear that, it's going to take a long-term vision. It doesn't just happen overnight. And I heard a minister once share that, without a 20-year vision, he said, people are going to perish. It takes more than just one day at a time. It takes a long-term vision to walk out this Christian life. As Peter here, Second Peter, it says, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, he but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins of his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live into righteousness, by whose scriptures you were healed. For as we were sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And as Peter's writing this here, talking about the suffering of Christ, when he came, you know, he reviled not, but yet he committed himself to him that would judge righteously, and that's God. Talking about a long-term vision, I read a devotional months back where it talks about Abraham and Lot. And we know that as they came to a point where they had too much of a flock there in the area, and they're going to have to divide up. And Abraham went over to Lot and told Lot, you know, we need to separate here, and you need to take your part of your animals, and we need to go. He said, where do you want to go? And we know what Lot did. Lot looked back, and he's seen all the lush grass, and all the wells are over here, and he pitched his tent closer to Sodom. And Abraham had a long-term vision. He looked over here, and he seen grass that was brown, no wells, and he seen a struggle. But he seen in the long run it's going to be better for him to go over here, to dig wells and start all over, to get away from Sodom. And that is our heart. We need to have a purpose in our heart, where we're going, and where is this going to take us at? If we go here, if we do that, where is it going to take us? For example, you know, when I got born again and set free from my sins and addictions, I remember saying after a few weeks, Lord, he said, I'm ready, you know, come get me, come take me. And it went on for months, and I just thought we was gonna go soon. As Paul said, you know, I'm in a betwixt. I'd rather depart and be with the Lord, but the Lord has other plans. I'm willing to do it. And I remember coming to that point, reading that scripture, Paul, and I remember saying, yes, Lord, if you have other plans for me here, I'm willing to stay here. And that is when the Lord showed me the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And that is part of serving, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Are we serving the Lord? Do we have a burden for those lost around us? Why? We see somebody lost. Doesn't that give us the burden that he's missing out on serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we serve? It should be, and I trust that it is. I know in my life, when you see a sin rampant and all that, your heart just aches because it's like, I remember being there and not having that true peace. And God gives us a burden to share to share with them. And I remember telling the Lord at that time, I'm willing to serve you the rest of my life. I remember at that time, right after I got born again, I don't care if you keep me here, even though I was wanted out of here, but I remember making that commitment for me and my house. We will serve the Lord all the days of your life. If we're here, if I'm wherever you put me, Lord, I promise I'll serve you. In Luke 12, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things should be added unto you. We read that in Matthew. Let me read through a few of these again. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about that. I was taught for many years that for us to get into the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have to fight nail and tooth. It thought it was impossible. We were taught that it's about impossible because God is a big God, and he threw us out here in this earth, and somehow we're going to find our way back, climbing to the corner. But here we see that it's a Father's good pleasure. And I remember reading this right here, to give you the kingdom. No, God is, he's not against us. He's for us. He's for us. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which racks not old. Treasure in heavens that faileth not. Whether no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Can't deny that. Some people say, no, that's not me. But where your heart is, or where your treasures are, that is your heart. You can tell. I remember I had my wife's cousin that came and shared with us a few times, and we did not understand the gospel whatsoever. But I could tell that he departed. I mean, he detached himself from this earth. Something happened, and all he wanted to talk about was Jesus, and I could see that his treasures was not on money anymore. It used to be money, and he had other things. It was on the kingdom of heaven. Where your treasures is, there will your heart also be. And I could see his heart was after God. And let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And you yourselves liken to men and wait for the Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open up unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down and meet and come forth and serve him. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this you know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, you had watched and not suffered the house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think of not. So I know a few people that want to go to heaven, but they're not done with their sin. They're going to repent yet before their life is over. That is what they shared. But we know, we have no idea. It's like, you know, we shared that many times. If we know the thief's coming, if someone had their house broken into or whatever, if you know what time you'd come and you'd stay up and watch, or you'd make sure you're there. And that's the same way here. We know he's coming, but we know not when. So we always need to be ready. So let's purpose in our heart, For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, as we read that about selling your alms, or giving alms, and providing yourself bags of wax not old, and sell all you have. What a contrast. Instead of having a love of money, you know, see how much we can gather. The kingdom of God, when we're serving the Lord, it's about where we can look to help out, where we can pass out money. It's a blessing to be there. That's part of serving. Brothers and sisters, is it not a blessing that we can wake up with the peace of God in our hearts, knowing that if we die today, we can be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Isn't that a blessing? Why'd people walk away from that? Why would people walk away? We know that it is a deception that comes little by little. So that's why we need to be good Bereans and search out the Word and be diligent in little things so we will not be deceived. It doesn't happen overnight. As with those families that we've seen that are still continuing going. It didn't start. They didn't jump from here to here one night. It's a small, small thing. And the only thing I can think of that somehow in their heart, they're not purposing in their heart to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords all their heart. So 1 John 2, a few verses. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? Before the world knoweth us not, because we knew him not. I remember that point reading across a few of those verses, and knowing that I am a son of God. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. He calls us the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Why not serve the one that loves, cares, is gentle, forgiving, and everlasting to everlasting? And we know on the flip side of that, Satan, he hates, he kills, he destroys, he inflicts pain, then eternal punishment. And people are willingly following after him. It don't make sense why anyone want to serve the little god of this earth, or the devil. And many people say today that I love Jesus, but also I love the things that I'm doing. They love their sinful life. And we know that's very clear. You cannot serve God Mammon at the same time. So if you're in sin, living in sin, habitual sin, and you're not repenting, you don't love God. You don't have the fear of God, I should say. Matthew 18. For the Son of Man has come to save them which were lost. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them are gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek those which are gone astray? If it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more than one sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so it be not the will of your Father which in heaven, that any one of these little ones should perish. Did he not pull us out of the fire? We owe him our life. Finish up here in a little bit. John 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered out of the child, she remembers no more than anguish, for a joy that a man is born into this world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see into you again, and your heart will rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father's name, he will give you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He says, these things that I have spoken to you in me might be have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So I'm just going to skip a few of these verses here. I see my hour is about up. So I praise God that we found that true bread. As it says there in John 6, there's 20 verses there. It talks about the bread of life. Maybe I should read a few of those there first. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He said, no man will come to the Father but by me. No man come to the Father except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written, the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which of the God he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And he talked about your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. We know there's no life in the things of this world. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. And we know so that the Christian life is not a bed of roses, but it's a battlefield. And we are not promised the easy life, but it's the only life. Amen? I can say we went through some challenges in our Christian life. I got born again in 2004. Many challenges that rose up, but we know that there's nothing else outside of this where I'm walking with the Lord. And how do we know it's the only way of life? You know, we look through the scriptures and we see the disciples that walked with Jesus, the love that they had. They grew and grew for him. After Jesus' ascension in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came down upon them as they began to speak with tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. We've seen that. It's a beautiful sight there. Finally, they understood that what Jesus was telling them. After he descended, he told them to go in the upper room, and the Spirit of God came down upon them. And if the Spirit of God is upon every one of us, we will endure until the end. As we've seen the disciples here, them 11, as they went out and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And they went and testified and preached unto the death. Every one of them, how they were hung upside down and crucified, like Peter, and they were some of their heads cut off, and they were, you know the deaths. But they purposed in their heart to serve that Jesus, that just they seen ascended up to heaven. And that is my heart, that we as well, it don't matter what we face in the coming years, and I feel that we are in the beginning of the end as this past year. And I can say that, man, I never detached myself more than this past year from this life than I did the first 17, 18 years of my Christian life. And we can see the beginning of the end, and this life is temporal. But we see the disciples, they were willing to give up their lives for Jesus. And we've seen that Stephen, as he was ordained as a deacon, and he began to start preaching of the words of Jesus, and he was stoned. And Paul, he had his head cut off because of Jesus. And you think about that. They're willing to give their lives. And today, where would we be at if their life would stand before us? Will you forsake him, or are you going to follow him? Do we have that purpose in our heart that no matter what circumstance we face, we will serve the Lord all the days of our life? Even if the sword is pushed up against our neck or a gun up on our head, are we willing to serve Jesus Christ all the days of our life? Or are we come to that point, and or are we not strong enough? Then we look at the forefathers. Let's go fast forward many years. The forefathers in 1500s. My, we've seen the evil tactics that they used on those, cutting off tongues or putting screws into their mouths because they were following and serving Jesus. And they were cut into pieces from limb to limb, put in sacks and threw into two rivers because they purposed in their heart to serve the Lord all the days of their life. And that is my heart, that I just hate seeing families that continue on just serving the Lord one day, and years down the road they're deflecting, they're turning away because maybe because of a little bitterness, something that happened between two brothers or something that happened in the church. And it seemed like they use all these excuses, and all of a sudden, if you allow that bitterness in your heart, as we heard this morning from a brother here, it will destroy you. Then we see Jesus, you know, the greatest one of all, as he purposed in his heart there, as I read there in Peter, to commit himself to God, to his Father. And he went, and he was willing to whatever it would be. He said, Father, he said, not my will, but thine. And he went to the cross. As they took him to the cross, he was beaten, and he was whipped with them whips that tore out his flesh from his body, piece after piece after piece. But he was committed to God. And nothing was going to deter him from his vision, from his final destiny. And is our final destiny God? Is our final destiny the kingdom of heaven, or do we have a lot of things we want to do yet in this life? I trust not. I trust that our final destiny, we keep our gaze upon Jesus, and nothing will distract us. These all serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as I talked about, and I talked about Jesus. Why did that happen? Because they have a love for Jesus Christ. Because they were delivered from their sinful life. Their worldly passions were gone, and they had their names written into the book of life. Don't we? Brothers and sisters, have we not been delivered from our sins, the worldly passions, and our names written to the book of life? Are we not? I trust that most of us in here have been. If not, you're missing out. You're missing out on that beautiful walk with God, that true peace that you can wake up in the morning and have. I had so many years of that. Wake up after a weekend of ungodliness. This is after we're married. Me and my wife, we got involved into all kinds of sin after we got married. I guess it never changed for 12 years after we got married. And I can remember waking up on a Monday morning. That's when it seems to hit me the hardest. Thinking, my, something's not right. By Wednesday, Thursday, and all that would change, and Friday would come, and all of a sudden the sinful life came back alive. I hated that. But today I praise God that we can wake up in the morning and know that today, if I die, I'm going to go be with the Lord. Let's not live anywhere else but there. If you have sin in your life, you can't say that. Yes, we know that there's the mistakes happen. But when that happens, immediately we say, Lord, I'm sorry. We don't live in habitual sin. But you are chosen. The last verses here, I'm going to close. But you are a royal, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Peter writing here into the church. A peculiar people that he should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you not been called out of darkness into his marvelous light? I know all of you have, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which in times past were not a people, but we are now the people of God, which have obtained mercy and now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that would do his will. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I'll leave you with that. I trust that's where our hearts are at. God bless you.